हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् ॐ हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः कर्तुराज्ञया प्राप्यते फलम् कर्तुराज्ञया प्राप्यते फलम् कर्म किम् परम् कर्म तज्जडम् कर्म किम् परम् कर्म तज्जडम् कृतिमहोदधौ पतनकारणम् कृतिमहोदधौ पतनकारणम् फलमशाश्वतम् गतिनिरोधकम् फलमशाश्वतम् गतिनिरोधकम् ईश्वरार्पितम् नेच्छया कृतम् ईश्वरार्पितम् नेच्छया कृतम् चित्तशोधकम् मुक्तिसाधकम् चित्तशोधकम् मुक्तिसाधकम् कायवाङ्मनः कार्यमुत्तमम् कायवाङ्मनः कार्यमुत्तमम् पूजनम् जपश्चिन्तनम् क्रमात् पूजनम् जपश्चिन्तनम् क्रमात् जगत ईषधि युक्त सेवनम् जगत ईषधि युक्त सेवनम् अष्टमूर्तिभृद्देव पूजनम् अष्टमूर्तिभृद्देव पूजनम् उत्तमस्तवादुच्चमन्दतः उत्तमस्तवादुच्चमन्दतः चित्तजम् जप ध्यानमुत्तमम् चित्तजम् जप ध्यानमुत्तमम् आज्यधारया स्रोतसा समम् आज्यधारया स्रोतसा समम् सरलचिन्तनम् विरलतः परम् सरलचिन्तनम् विरलतः परम् भेदभावनात् सोऽहमित्यसौ भेदभावनात् सोऽहमित्यसौ भावनाभिदा पावनीमता भावनाभिदा पावनीमता भेदभावनात् सोऽहमित्यसौ भेदभावनात् सोऽहमित्यसौ भावनाभिदा पावनीमता भावनाभिदा पावनीमता सो टुडे वी हैव कम टू द 8th वर्स यू सी फ्रॉम द बिगिनिंग वर्स 1 वर्स 2 Verse 3 and verse 4, in every verse, how Ramana Maharshi develops the subject matter so beautifully. First he said, karma is definitely not the means for mokshaha. Because mokshaha is a timeless end, everlasting end. And second thing, he said, very performance of karma is jadam. Any karma is jadam because karma is a product of ignorance. How ignorance results in self-ignorance alone leads to ajnanam, leads to adhyasaha, erroneous self-perception. And erroneous self-perception leads to superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self. And the superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self results in entertaining the erroneous notion about oneself. That notion being erroneous, what is the notion? Any notion one has about oneself is erroneous, because there is I am small, I am mortal, I am insignificant, I am unhappy. All these notions, not only these notions, any number of notions one entertains about oneself are all erroneous, because they're all based on erroneous self-perception caused by self-ignorance. And these notions results in the fundamental desire of wanting to live long, happily, and from which alone all other desires crop up, and desires impel actions. Therefore, very action is what expression of the pressure caused by the desire. Therefore, basically, karma is a product of ignorance. Karma is caused by ultimately caused by what? Ignorance. Therefore, it is jadam. Understand now? It is jadam. What can it caused by ignorance? What can it do? And even karma definitely is followed by a result. Even that result is what? Determined by the natural law, which is Ishvara. Ishvara in the form of law alone determines the fruits of actions. If karma does not produce its own result also. Of course, performance of karma is important for the result to follow the karma. But that karma phalam also is not produced by the very karma itself. It is determined by the natural law. Therefore, karma is not the means for mokshaha. That he makes it very clear thereafter. And he says, and this performance of karma, mechanically doing something or the other, always results in what? Results in producing more and more of punya papas, and because they have to be exhausted. Therefore, performance of merely performing karma will keep you bound forever. Understand? Therefore, gati nirodhakam, he said. The first two verses talk about the limitation of karma and how karma cannot be the means for moksha. Therefore, we have to think about, what is the actual means of moksha. First two verses. The next two verses, he talk about what? But at the same time, non-performance of karma also will not help one to attain moksha. Therefore, what should we do? The same karma performed with the proper attitude, becomes karma yoga. So, karma yoga will contribute for moksha, remaining as an indirect means for moksha, because karma yoga will prepare the mind for jnanam. Living a life of karma yoga alone is the only way to have mental purity and mental steadiness, which is without which knowledge is not possible. The knowledge itself is mokshaha. Therefore, karma yoga, so performing karma with the proper attitude, you convert the karma into yoga, which serves as an indirect means for jnanam, which is mokshaha. He said, Ishara arpitam na ichchaya kritam chitta shodhakam and mukti sadhakam. It becomes sadhakam, it helps you. It serves as an indirect means for accomplishing moksha, he says later on. And he said, therefore, a karma yogi is a spiritual person, the real devotee. Understand, who is the real devotee? You have to remember here, karma, bhakti is not a separate path here. The real bhaktaha is none other than a karma yogi. And real bhaktaha is a nitya bhaktaha, is a karma yogi. Why? Because karma yogi is the one who has purushartha nischayaha, who is very clear about his end being, choiceless, no end, which is mokshaha. He knows the purpose of living this life. He's very clear about the purpose of living this life, and therefore moksha being the ultimate end, and knowledge of the truth being the only means to accomplish that moksha. And he knows the jnanam and moksha are identical, and therefore this karma yogi, one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, therefore he is a spiritual person. Parampurulai arivadaye vaazhkaiyin kurikkolaga kondu vaazhgiravan is a spiritual person, the real spiritual person. And as a spiritual person, and he is prayerful and worshipful, I told you many times, and he is religious, and he knows the value of dharma. Therefore, one whose all one's actions are governed by dharma. Na ichchaya kritam, he says the previous verse. No action is done, no, according to his likes and dislikes. All the actions he does are in conformity with dharma. Therefore, he is highly ethical. So he is ethical and he is religious and he is a spiritual person. Therefore, there is no time he is away from Bhagavan. No time he does not think of Bhagavan Ishvara. Ishvara Arpitam. So for such a person, all the actions he performs become offered to Bhagavan. I told you, how can I offer all my actions to Bhagavan? Now people always say, what is karma yoga? Now, performing one's actions with an attitude of offering them to Bhagavan is, you know, converts the action into yoga. You say that. How can you perform with an attitude of offering to Bhagavan? If you're very clear, ultimately I'm living this life to accomplish moksha in the form of knowledge. And to live this life, I pursue artha and kama. So for whom? For a karma yogi, artha kamas are the means, not the ultimate end. Artha kamas are the means required to live this life. And moksha is the ultimate end. But for that moksha, to know the truth, to discover the moksha, to discover fullness, to discover the truth, he knows the mind has to be pure and steady, for which he has to pursue the artha and kama choicelessly in conformity with dharma. Then what? Then he is an ethical person, isn't it? So nechya kritam, none of his actions are really is governed by his own likes and dislikes. They're all governed by dharma. Therefore, there's no time. All his actions are naturally offered to, they become offered to Bhagavan. And whatever comes also, he accepts them with same name as prasada. For such a person, there's no fraction of second, Bhagavan is not involved in all his actions. Everything he does, this Bhagavan is involved there. Therefore, he is always close to Bhagavan. His life is in conformity with dharma. Therefore, he does not disturb the order. Therefore, he lives in tune with the harmony with the order. Therefore, he lives in tune with Ishvara. Living in tune with Ishvara. Iraivanoda isaipada vaazhudhal eppadi. Understand now? There's only way you can be peaceful. One has to be relatively peaceful in order to discover the absolute peace. Nilayana anandatte pera. One should have at least relatively also one has to be peaceful. How can you be peaceful? Relatively peaceful. You might think of, see, you want an absolute peace, everlasting peace, for which you had to be relatively peaceful. How can you be relatively peaceful? You had to be at ease. All that, always disturbed means what? You had to be at ease mentally. That is how you can prepare yourself. You can discover the absolute peace. And to be at ease, to entertain that, to be relatively peaceful, you have to, you have to live in tune with Ishvara. So living in tune with Ishvara means living in tune with the universal natural law and order, and living in tune with the universal natural order means living in tune with Dharma, and living in tune with Dharma means just to commit, living a life of Dharma, living life of Dharma. Therefore, this person, which is the time he is away from Bhagavan, which is the time he is not the thought of Bhagavan, that is why for a karma yogi, all his actions become worship. Therefore, for him work is worship, therefore there is no time he is not a devotee. He is always a devotee. Now if he gets up also, whenever he walks, his walking becomes pradakshinam for Bhagavan. His talking becomes puja for Bhagavan. Understand? All that he does becomes what? In fact, worship. Therefore, there's no time. A karma yogi is not a devotee. Understand? That's why he is a real devotee. And in all his different roles he plays, in every role also he is a devotee. And that is, living a life of karma yoga is very, very important for one to become mentally pure and to prepare oneself for this knowledge. And then talking about the karma yoga, he talks about upasanam. After karma, upasanam. Then upasanam, it is very important for one to involve oneself in upasanam also in one's life. Upasanam implies what? Worshipping the Lord. Here, in karma yoga, the devotee is a bhakta. Devotee always, but he also plays his roles. But in upasanam, a karma, there's no karma, there's no role play. He's just the upasakaha, just the devotee. In upasanam, a devotee is a mere devotee without any action, without playing any role. Whereas in karma yoga, he's playing a role. While playing a role, he is a devotee. That's the difference, isn't it? So, and the upasanam, bhakti also is, upasanam also is what now? Is also karma. Upasanam also is karma, but wherein he just, one plays just the role of a devotee. In karma yoga also one performs karma with the proper attitude, but there he plays different roles, he is still a devotee. But in upasanam, he plays the role, just the mere role of a devotee. And there we saw how the three types of karma are involved in upasanam. That vachikayikam karma, the physical activity, and vachikam karma, oral activity, and also manasam karma, mental activity. The threefold karma, three types of actions are involved in upasanam. There he says, how do you say, even this physical activity is upasanam? Meditation like, because in physical activity also, even though you are doing something physically, Bhagavan is the your focus is on Bhagavan. You in oral activity, even though it's a activity, but still even there Bhagavan is, your focus is on Bhagavan. The mind is involved in physical and oral activities, and Bhagavan is, your focus is on Bhagavan. Therefore physical activity also, upasanam, in upasanam, physical activity also is as sort of preparation for meditation, and oral activity also is as good as meditation, because there the focus is on Bhagavan. And he says it is than physical activity, the oral activity is better than physical activities. So chanting something, reciting something is better than even physically doing something else also. And he said even better than that is what? He says is this manasam karma. And in talking about this manasam karma, first he talks about the manasaha japaha. Understand? Remember this? Manasaha japaha. Because japaha, and there he said, when he talked about the oral activity, he talked about two things. Stavaha and japaha. I told the difference between stavaha and japaha. What is stavaha? What is japaha? Stavaha is a synonym of the word stutihi and stotram. Remember this now. Synonym of these two words. All these words mean praise. So what is praise and who is praised? So praising the Lord. So through the verse. So you can recite a mantra, chant a mantra, recite a verse or sing a song in praise of the Lord. And in praising the Lord, suppose whether you sing or recite or chant, the mantra or a verse or a lyric can have more number of words. Then that is called what? So reciting or singing or chanting in praise of the Lord involving more number of words is called stavaha. So many things you say aloud. So many words you use. Becomes what? Stavaha. So stavaha. So in oral activity, we have stavaha. We also have japaha. And what is japaha? So you repeating one name or same name or a given mantra, okay, is japaha. Not too many names or not too many mantras are repeated. Repeating one name or one mantra is japaha. And he says here in this oral activity also, japaha is better than stavaha. Instead of repeating too many names or with the two, it's all good, but he says what is better than what? Okay, instead of chanting too many names and too many words, you can just recite only repeat one nama, which becomes a japaha. And then he says even the japaha, but he says the manasaha japaha is much better than, more effective than the vachikaha japaha. Then oral japa, manasa japa is better. Om Namah Shiva. And there again is what he says again. Instead, you know, if you can chant, you can say anything orally. Japa also, you can say it loudly. Instead of saying japa loudly, so softly, if you say japa, this is better. So softly, repeated mantra is better than, more effective than the japaha done with a loud voice. Okay, so he said this. Then manas japaha is much better than that. Uccha mandataha. Remember that now? Remember that verse. So this manasaha japaha much better than even the oral japa at all. So what is manasaha japaha? Repeating the mantra mentally. So this mantra, when you repeat the mantra or one nama, when you repeat it, definitely you can find, whenever the mind goes, you can bring your mind back. Definitely the attention may get distracted, whenever the mind goes away, bring the mind back, attention back, and try to repeat the mantra. Okay? When you constantly practice that way, this manasaha japaha itself will become a meditation. So how does it help you as a meditation? Because in between the names, in between the two chants, there is possibility of your discovering the silence. Because when you chant a nama, attention is with nama. The object of thought is what? The nama, name of the Lord. When you chant another name, the object of thought is the name. But when we don't chant, there's no object of thought, then what is there is just the silence. That silence is what? Surupam of the self. This possibility of slowly, okay, discovering the silence which is the very self which you can have in between the two chants. But one has to practice constantly this Manas Japa for quite some time to be able to be with that silence. Understand? Not that immediately. It helps you. Therefore, Manasa Japaha is as good as meditation. But you have to practice it constantly, and you have to be very careful also, so that you, whenever you get distracted, you have to bring your attention back. And this Manasa Japaha not only helps you discover the silence being the swarupam of the self, this Manasa Japaha also helps you avoid unnecessarily, okay, meandering with your own building up thoughts. Understand now? Thinking of one thing and which will lead to so many other things that you can avoid. And the second thing, because whenever you are able to stop meandering with the different unnecessary thoughts, the more you will be alert. The being mechanical will be taken care of, be kept in check. And also, sometimes the mechanical thinking, you can avoid this habit of building up thoughts which lead to one thought leading to other thought. Thereby, sometimes some incidents which you remember might result in reaction on your part, which might cause even greater damages in relationships and all that. And all those things can be avoided. So Manasa Japaha helps you avoid unnecessarily building up mechanical thinking, which will result in reactions and that sort of the reactions and anger, etc. So all these things will be really neutralized if you are given to this habit of Manasaha Japaha. You can always try this, no problem. Any one Nama Japa, Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshina Murtaye Mahyam Sriyam Medham Prajnancha Prayachaswaha, Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshina Murtaye. It looks as though it has many names and many words, but still only one mantra is repeated. Okay, one mantra with the prayer is repeated. Like that. It need not be only one nama also. It can be, whatever you repeat should be one complete sentence or one name which you repeat. Is it clear now? This is the palam of also what is meditation. Manasaha Japaha. Thereafter, he said, there is some limitation about this Manasa Japaha also, because Manasa Japaha becomes what? No, Virala Chintanam. Virala Chintanam means what? It's a broken, interrupted meditation. But in fact, in actual meditation, your thinking is not at all interrupted. So, uninterrupted meditation is Dhyanam. Interrupted meditation is Manasaha Japaha. He says, this uninterrupted meditation, this Dhyanam, is better than, more effective than even Manasa Japaha. You should look how he goes step by step. I'm repeating it. I know I'm repeating. I'm not saying anything new. I'm taking from one thing to, I just remind you of all that I said in the previous classes. And what is this dhyanam? I told you, focusing one's attention on a given object for a length of time is meditation. Because in japaha, what happens? If you say Om Namah Shivaya is your mantra, then every time the Om Namah Shivaya ends, again you begin. Again attention is focused on again from Om. Om Namah Shivaya. Again you start, isn't it? So this word is interrupted meditation, broken meditation. So really speaking, it's not bad, it is also effective, but better than that is what? This actual uninterrupted meditation, wherein your attention is focused on a given object of meditation for a length of time. And that object of meditation must be something which symbolizes, which stands for Bhagavan. That is very important. If the object of your thought is not Ishvara, not something which stands for Ishvara, it is not meditation according to Shastra. Now I sit for 2 hours in meditation. I see, you know, the branch of a tree. Every day I practice. This I have learned from the latest technology, the meditative technique. I went for some meditation class and they taught me this. I'm so happy with this. It helps me so much. I can sit for 2 hours and seeing the branch of a tree. Okay? And without even winking my eyes. I tell you, you even if you're able to sit for 10 hours a day, it is not meditation according to Shastram. Okay? Unless it stands for Bhagavan. That's why the object of meditation must be something which stands for Ishvara. You can never understand, I tell you, there's no such thing called meditating upon Ishvara means what? Ishvara is the whole which is inclusive of you. Understand now? Therefore, we always meditate upon something. The mind itself is Ishvara. Mind also is Ishvara. That is why there's no, you always meditate upon something and which stands for Ishvara. And there in meditation, that's why it is, I told you, Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Remember that now, the mental activity for which the object of thought is Ishvara. Sagunam Brahma means Ishvara, the Lord. So you can meditate upon any glory of the Lord. Or any one form, suppose you think of sun or moon or a plant or a flame or a womb or anything you meditate on, or a given nama, given mantra, like a japam also you can meditate, that you see that meaning of something, even then it becomes what? Something which stands for Ishvara. Okay, I like this form of, this particular form of Ishvara. No, I always see that. Whether you meditate upon a given form or a given name, just you think of it constantly. It is meditation, and there in meditation, definitely you are the meditator, and the object of meditation is different from you, the meditator. This difference between the meditator, the one who meditates on, okay, meditates, and the object of meditation, that which is meditated upon, definitely there is difference, different from the meditator. Dhyanikiravan, dhyanikappadu porul. This difference is there in meditation. Isn't it? Therefore, Ramana Maharshi says here, virala chintanam is manasa japaha and sarala chintanam is what? Meditation. Virala chintanam, I told you, virala chintanam means in thinking, you are constantly thinking of a mantra, but still there, every time the mantra gets over, you have to restart the mantra. Therefore, it's interrupted meditation. Whereas in meditation, your thoughts are not interrupted. You keep on thinking of a given object continuously. Therefore, this becomes sarala chintanam. And the sarala chintanam should be like what? How should the meditation be? In meditation, the flow of thoughts should be like what? It should be uninterrupted, undisturbed. How should it be? He gives a 2 illustrations. I don't know. Remember that? Ajadharaya srotasasamam. Ajadharaya srotasasamam. Sarala chintanam viralatav param. Sarala chintanam viralatav param. So, ajadharaya samam sarala chintanam. The flow of thoughts, the flow of thoughts in the meditation, how it should be, ajadharaya samam. It should be unbroken flow of thoughts. Like what? Like the flow of ghee into the Agnikunda. Ajadharaya samam. Like, The flow of thoughts should be like the flow of ghee from the wooden ladle, into the Agni Kunda. He doesn't say all those things. He just says Ajadhara. I'm adding all these things, okay? Into the this Agni Kunda. As the ghee is poured and the ghee flows and it keeps on flowing. And similarly, when the river or the stream is flowing also, how does it go? It effortlessly it flows, isn't it? And how the water in the river flows towards a destination, it just flows, keeps on flowing, doesn't stop anywhere. No, like that, it keeps flowing like that. Just as the river flows without any obstruction, just as the ghee, poured during the performance of fire ritual, flows from the wooden ladle into the Agni Kunda. Similarly, the flow of thoughts must be there in meditation. It should not be not have any interruption. What he says, I told you, just that these two examples really remind us of two things. When the river flows, here Srotas means a stream or a small river. Okay, Srotas means river. And the Srotas stands for once the river is flowing means nowhere it gets stuck or stopped. And whatever obstacle will be there, still the water always jumps onto the stone or anything which stops, obstructs. And it says until the flow of the water in the river does not get stopped by anything, until it reaches the ocean. Similarly, our effort in meditation also should be such. No, what is the ultimate purpose of meditation? Until that purpose gets served, we also will persevere. We'll never give up this practice of meditation. Okay, we should not give up. That's what is implied by this example of flow of river. And similarly, the ghee has sneha. No, I told you already, in the last class I mentioned this. Ghee has a sneha. Oil also is known by the word sneha. And I told you there's a verb. Now we can say snihyami. Okay? Snihyami means what? I stick myself to something. Okay? Snihyami. And snihyati means what? Sticks. Snihyati means what? Sticks. And sneha means what? Sticky. Anything which is sticky is called sneha. The friendship also is sticky. Emotionally, you get stuck with somebody and it's called sneha. Understand? Really? Sanskrit words are very beautiful words. Sneha means what? You are not sneha. Snehitan. Look at this. Snehitan is who? One who is stuck with you is a snehitaha. And you are his snehitan, he is your snehita. Friends mean those who are stuck with each other emotionally. Understand now? You can't be, that's why, when do you get stuck, Anything in like-mindedness, something is there, and you're a friend of somebody in English, I don't know whether this word, snehitaha, the one who is stuck, okay, emotionally, is snehitaha. Sneha is sticky, a friendship, we say that. So, and then like the ghee, that implies love. And therefore he says, sneha implies, stands for love, okay, and then emotional bond, and the love for the truth, love for the knowledge of truth really also must be there. Only then is possible for you to be focused. If there is no love for object of meditation, how you cannot be focused? The meditation will be obstructed. Meditation should be constant and continuous. Then love for object of meditation must be there. Isn't it? Sneha for the object of meditation must be there. Only then meditation will be unobstructed meditation. And here object stands for Ishvara, and Ishvara stands for fullness, and fullness is your Swarupam, which you have to ultimately discover. Therefore, now if you know the purpose of meditation, what Bhagavan stands for, and of course, definitely then you will have love for Bhagavan. See, all of us simply, we say, I love Bhagavan, I love God. What is I love God? You love yourself. Understand now? There's no love for anything in the world. There's no love. I love that person. I love this person. It's all really, it is a lousy thing to hear. Really speaking, there's no real love for anybody. A love for anybody, Upanishad says, Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Any love for anybody, anything is love for one's own self, that is fullness and happiness. Okay? If a company of somebody or association with somebody, something, owning up somebody is not going to make you happy, you will want to run away from that person. Understand? That's true, isn't it? That is why, anyway, love for happiness is love for anything. Love for anything is in fact love for happiness alone. And love for happiness means love for fullness. Nirevum mulmayum me irevan. Understand now? Therefore, love for fullness or love for completeness, love for is the love for the Lord. And love for the Lord is love for yourself. The self of the whole jagat. Therefore, once you know that what it is, then naturally that object of meditation will be what? Object of love. Isn't it? Then meditation will be unobstructed meditation. He says, sarala chintanam birlataha param. The flow of thoughts in your meditation must be unobstructed, obstruction-free flow of thoughts. I mean, nothing can distract you. That means that flow must be like the flow of ghee into the Agni Kunda or like the flow of water towards its destination of ocean or big river or something. Is it clear? He talked about all this meditation. And here in this Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha, this Dhyatru Dhyaya Bhedaha is there. The meditator, meditated difference is there. And what is the phalam one can gain as a result of meditation? Ennathadha sadhikka mudiyum dhyanam seidhi seidhi. No, Shastra makes it very clear. People come and tell you so many things. If you meditate, you get this power and that power and this power. I tell you, don't be given to any of this, get carried away by these powers. People come and tell you, he has that power, he has this power, she has that. So what? Let them have all the powers and balance in the bank, okay? Doesn't matter. All that you want is moksha. You be very, very clear about it. All that I want is the discover fullness. In a nirevilatan kuregal ningum. Understand now? Unless and until how much ever powers you acquire, those powers, okay? You know, even if you are walking like a human being, only if you can walk into the, suppose fox comes there, you can enter into the fox and become a fox. Okay? Oh, kudu to kudu palame nallade. My enemy comes, okay, I can get into the fox when I can escape. All this, okay, what is it for? Okay, why should we do all this? All these powers are what for these powers? Any amount of powers you gain, okay, none of these powers will help you in solving your fundamental problem of smallness centered on I, without solving which you will continue to be the same complaining, moaning, grudging, and always a group person. There's no problem. Still, you'll be all problems will be there. I'm very powerful. I also have a lot of problems. So, what is the use? I'm not know who I am. I have all these powers. Okay. And then the person who is more powerful can come and make you unhappy. Therefore, still there's a possibility. Not possibility, definitely you will be an unhappy, insignificant, searching, wanting, seeking person. Okay, accomplishment of powers will not change your position as such. Therefore, Shastra must be very clear here. Okay, what is it you can gain as a result of meditation? Meditation will help you have. No, meditation also will produce twofold phalams. Drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam. You know that definitely, no? Drishta phalam is what? Immediately, what is the phalam you get? Steadiness. Mental purity and mental steadiness. So, living a life of karma yoga helps you become mentally pure and his upasanam helps you have mental steadiness. Kaikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma, even saguna brahma, vishya manasa vyaparaha, even this dhyanam will help you have mental steadiness. Tuya manam, nilayana manam, you need both, okay? And the manam, so purity and steadiness required on the part of the mind, in fact, can be gained as a result of living a life of karma yoga and this upasanam and this saguna brahma vishya manasa vyaparaha, this meditation. Is it clear now? This is the drishtam phalam. What is adrishtam phalam? You also win Bhagavan's grace. That is a punyam. Definitely punya karma, because always you are thinking of Bhagavan, you are meditating upon Bhagavan, Bhagavan Nama or Bhagavat. Then that is a result you have also gained punyam. That is why to earn lot of punyam, we have to do what? Worshipping, praying, and you know, this kayakam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma, japaha. And then apart from japaha, you also meditation. All these things will help you earn punyam. That punyam is what? In the form of tapping Bhagavan's grace. Irayvan arulai peruvathu eppadi. Okay? That's a secret. So you win the grace. Grace will be what? Grace will be in your account. And you will see grace will be walking into your life. Now in future. It's all punyam, isn't it? Punyam earned. It's our future life. Therefore, this is the punyam. So, earning punyam is the adrishtam phalam, which will come in your life in the form of grace. Then, the adrishtam phalam is what? Mental steadiness. Okay? Seen result and also in future. And adrishtam also, you have both. And he's going to say, you know what's the best? Tough bhakti. Now you talked about the real devotee. Now you talk about the best of the devotees. Who is the best of the devotees? Who is Sreshtatamaha Bhaktaha? No, Sreshtaha Bhaktaha. Sreshtaha, Sreyan, Sreshtatamaha. Okay? Who is the best of the devotees? Sreshtaha Bhaktaha. He says, a jnani is the best of the devotees. Karma yogi is what? Is a real devotee. And he is saying now, the jnani, one who knows Bhagavan as what? One who knows Bhagavan as oneself is, understand now, one who knows Bhagavan is the best of the devotees. Who knows Bhagavan means? One who knows Bhagavan means, how does he see Bhagavan? He can say two things. What is that? All that is there is only Bhagavan. There is nothing which is not Bhagavan. I do not see a second thing other than Bhagavan. He is a jnani. Or he can say, all that is here is nothing but am I. He can say Ishvara is everything, or he can say I am everything. When he says I am everything, he does not have identity only with the body, mind, sense complex, but he has identity with all that is here. That means to have identity with all that is here, he should have discovered the truth of everything as the truth of oneself. Is it clear now? He is a jnani bhaktaha. So to become this jnani bhaktaha, what is this? What should one do? In fact, one should be contemplative. He says, the meditation itself, we saw, sagunam brahma manasa vyaparaha is better than manasa japaha, we saw. Now he says, e nirguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha is contemplation or nididhyasanam is what? Even better than, even the best of all forms of worship. know, contemplation is the best of all forms of worship. Because in contemplation also, what meditation? Contemplation is manasavyaparaha, like meditation, isn't it? Therefore what? Manasavyaparaha is a mental activity. Meditation is a mental activity. There is no body and speech are not involved in meditation. Similarly, contemplation also is what? Manasavyaparaha. Therefore it is what? Meditation. But what do you call it contemplation? Because vishaya, okay, for this manasavyapara, for this mental activity, the object of meditation is not, okay, sagunam brahma, but nirgunam brahma. What do we mean by nirgunam brahma? The very self, the nature of the reality. Our reality is here nirgunam brahma. Paramburudaya swarupame dhyanikka padihindra vishyamahirad. Understand? And where did he know this? The person who meditates upon this, the nature of the reality, where has he understood the reality? As the very self. Therefore, the meditator and the meditated, there is no difference between the meditator and the meditated. The object of meditation is the very self. Okay? The swarupam of the meditator is the object of meditation. Therefore, there is no difference. Meditator, meditated, difference is not there in contemplation. Dhyanikiravan, dhyanikkapaduhindra purul, endra vetrumai, bedamanadu illai in contemplation. Is it clear now? And here, what is that meditation? What is that contemplation here? So, in contemplation, actually, because through this analysis, with the help of the Shastra study, one has to definitely understand the truth of the universe. Very important. It is not possible for one to simply meditate on this. Simply if I say, all that is there is Ishvara, all that is there is Ishvara. Okay, meditate on this. All that is there is Ishvara, all that is there is Ishvara, all that is there is Ishvara. What I'm meditating upon? I'm meditating on this sentence, all that is there is Ishvara, all that is there is Ishvara. Or you can say, I am everything. The whole Jagat is Brahman. I am Brahman, or Aham Brahmasmi. I am everything. I am everything. I am everything. I am everything. If you simply say this mentally, okay, that is not contemplation. You know that? You should know what you meditate. You should know the, so seeing the meaning of this sentence. Aham Brahma Asmi. If you say, I am that Brahman, if you say, you should be able to see the meaning of this sentence. Understand now? Seeing the meaning of this sentence, wherein you can see yourself being non-separate from the Lord, the whole. I have not started contemplation. I'm only preparing you for the contemplation. Okay? I'm only explaining now. For seeing the meaning of this sentence mentally is contemplation. How can you see the meaning of this sentence if you do not know what is the meaning of the sentence? Understand? To know the meaning of the sentence, you should know what aham means. If you know what the word, and now you all know aham, isn't it? Very good. Aham. Aham is equal to what? What does this word aham actually mean? What does it mean? Does it mean only the physical body? Does it mean only the subtle body? Does it mean only the, understand now? What actually is meant by that aham? What is the meaning of the word aham? If it is very clear, the meaning of the word Brahman also is what? The same. Understand? I told the example before. See, the meaning of the word wave, actual substance of the substantive wave is equal to H2O. The substance of the substantive being H2O is very clear. Then substance of the substantive universe being, ocean being H2O also will be clear. You don't need to know the substance of every wave. No, not necessary. Understand? Substance of the substantive wave, one wave is understood, is enough. The substance of the substantive ocean becomes as well known as it were. Understand now? Similarly, you don't need to go and search for the truth of everything. Truth of the body, truth of the senses, truth of the pranas, truth of the physiological functions, truth of every thought. Everything becomes understood if truth of one substantive, aham, is understood. Understand now? Therefore, everything becomes understood. And not only truth of this body, mind, is complex, the truth of every being, every cell in this, the whole jagat becomes as well understood. It is why the knowledge of the substance of the substantive, aham, is equal to the knowledge of the substance of the substantive jagat. Understand? Therefore, then, if you know the truth of this, the meaning of the word aham, and the attention of the mind is focused on that nature of the reality, then you see this reality, okay, is the reality of the whole jagat. Means you see the meaning of this sentence, aham brahma asmi. I am aham brahma. I am everything. All that is here is. Okay, all that is here am I, or I am everything. Understand? So seeing the meaning of this sentence, or I am the Lord, aham Ishwarah, okay, tattvamasi, when you say, Shastram says, you see the, I am that Lord. That Lord, that fullness, that completeness, that happiness, that Lord, that whole which is sought by me is in fact the self, myself, isn't it? So this seeing the meaning of this sentence, having understood the meaning of the word, I seeing the meaning of this sentence, okay, is what? Then as you are, as attention is seeing this meaning, then there's no distance, there's no difference between the meditator and the meditated. This is what is contemplation. Seeing the meaning of this word sentence is contemplation. So, Paramurulin Swarupathai, Naan Endra Sollin Purulaga Purindu, அதிலே கவனத்தை நிறுத்தும் பொழுது உனக்கும் இறைவனுக்கும் உள்ள வேறுபாடின்மையை நீ புரிந்து அனைத்துமாக இருக்கின்ற இறைவனுடைய வேறுபாடுமை புரிந்து கொள்ளும் பொழுது நீ பரம் தியானத்தில் இருக்கிறாய். நீ தியானத்தை செய்வதில்லை. Understand now? You are in meditation then. That is what is contemplation. Is it clear? That's why it doesn't matter. We are going to understand and then we'll do. Why I am saying here? Because if we simply say, there are some people who say this, what is contemplation? No, we keep on saying this. Some people mistake this Ramana Maharishi's teaching in this context. They say, you keep on asking, who am I, who am I, who am I? You will get an answer. You simply ask. Why? Because Swamiji here very clearly emphasizes, it is very important to study Shastra, to understand here. Understand the meaning of the sentence and seeing this sentence. Once you know the meaning, you can't help seeing the meaning. You will see the meaning. So seeing the meaning mentally in your mind is what? Being in contemplation. For which you need to know the meaning. Without knowing the meaning, how can you see the meaning? Paramurali purund surupam valangame, how can you think of that meaning? Listen, if you know the meaning, you can think of the meaning. Very important. Otherwise, what will happen? If you say, without knowing the meaning of the sentence, without having understood the meaning, you simply repeat, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, I am everything, I am everything, I am everything, I am everything. If you say, you have so many notions about you already, okay? This becomes one more notion added. You have so many notions. Now you are, when you say, I am a mother, I am a father, I am a mother, and I am a doctor, I'm also a friend, no, I'm a musician. So many, you have so many notions you have. And one more notion added up, I am Brahman, I am Lord. Now you are doing the role play of our mother's role, wife's role, daughter-in-law's role. Now also what now? Bhagavan's role, look at this. That is when you go crazy. Not you don't go crazy, you drive people crazy. Understand now? Understand very how important it is to know this. Understand, without either people, what is that? You just keep on saying this sentence, okay? That is what some people are doing in this country. Just take the mantra, keep on saying that sentence. Then it becomes what? Contemplation. Take the Mahavakyas. Keep on repeating the Mahavakyas. You will become, at least that Manasa Japa will help you something. This repeating the sentences without knowing the meaning will not take you any distance from where you are. Not even Antakarna Shuddhi, not even what? Not even this Naishchalyam, Antakarna Naishchalyam. At least there you get some mental steadiness and something gain. Is it clear now? So therefore, whatever you, these sentences, the Mahavakyas, so seeing the meaning of Mahavakyams, any Mahavakyam, which has been understood, unfolded by the teacher, which has been understood by the student, okay, seeing the meaning of the Mahavakyam is being in meditation, which is contemplation. Is it clear now? Therefore, it's very important. Otherwise, that will become a cue. It become one more added notion, and thereby you will start playing the role. One more role play will be added, and which will. It's not good. It's not right. Very important. Okay, in seeing them, therefore, it's very important to understand the meaning of the Mahavakyam in order to think and constantly think of that meaning of that Mahavakyam. So, to see that meaning of the Mahavakyam mentally, constantly, I should have already known what I am seeing mentally. And to know that, I must have studied systematically with the help of the teacher. That is what is very important here. Some understanding is very important. So studying, understanding, okay, that then seeing that meaning. That implies all these things. What is contemplation? This contemplation is in fact the meditation. This is what is important for having the ascertained doubt-free vision of the reality being one, non-dual. How many realities are here? We don't say one reality. There is only reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. There is no second thing other than Ishwaraha, the Lord. All that is there is only Ishwaraha. This is the vision of, vision. In fact, one has to get as a result of this contemplation. That is what the one who has his vision is the Jnani Bhaktaha, the best of the devotees. Understand? So, he is this Karma Yogi who can be a meditator initially, and later on he can become a contemplator also, because this would have helped him to have the required mental preparedness. It is what is contemplative disposition, implies what? Knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the meaning of these words, and also mental steadiness. He has both. One can be contemplative. And here, even in meditation, when you, even in meditation, when you do also, even though we are meditating on a given object which stands for Ishvara, even though there's this difference between the meditator and the meditator, meditated, still one can have an attitude. எந்த ஒரு எண்ணத்தோடு ஒருவன் ஒரு தியானிக்க வேண்டும். ஓகே, வாட் இஸ் தட் ஆட்டிடியூட் ஒன் ஷுட் என்டர்டெயின் ஈ வெதர் ஒன் இஸ் யூ ஆர் மெடிடேட்டிங் ஆர் காண்டம்ப்ளேட்டிங். இன் காண்டம்ப்ளேஷன் இட் யூ ஜஸ்ட் யூ டோன்ட் நீட் டு ஹாவ் அன் ஆட்டிடியூட் தேர் யூ ஆர் ஜஸ்ட் யூ சி ஓகே யூ எவர் யூ சி த மீனிங் ஆஃப் திஸ் சென்டென்ஸ் பிகாஸ் யூ நோ த மீனிங் ஆல்ரெடி யூ ஆர் இன் யூ ஆர் சீயிங் தி நான் டியூவாலிட்டி ஆஃப் தி ரியாலிட்டி. In contemplation, you constantly see the nature of reality. You see the reality as only non-dual vastu, as a non-duality of the reality. Okay, you see that in contemplation. In meditation also, even though meditator-meditated difference is there still, you can have an attitude. What is that attitude you can have? All that is there is Ishvara. Really speaking, how can you have this, all that is there is Ishvara? Even though I'm meditating here, which stands for Ishvara, okay? What is this, all that is there is Ishvara? And I am that Ishvara, I am that Lord. Therefore, all that is, I am all everything. This attitude one can have even while meditating. I am meditator, this is an object of meditation. I am different from this object of meditation, but still, there is no difference between me and Ishvara. How? The difference is definitely there between me and Ishvara, okay, from Mithya Anatma standpoint. From the standpoint of Satya Atma, there is no distance, there is no difference between me and the Lord. Therefore, the truth of the universe is Chaitanyam Brahma, the truth of the I, okay, the self also is what? The same consciousness. Therefore, from the standpoint of Satya Vastu, there is no difference between Atma and the self and the self of the universe. This is the Ishvara. There is no distance. There is no difference. And this, therefore, from the standpoint of reality, the only reality being one, the truth is one and the same. And therefore, This vision of non-duality also, this attitude of seeing everything as Ishvara, seeing everything as oneself, is also what? Even in meditation, with this attitude of, the attitude of having looking at everything as Ishvara, if one meditates, even that meditation will be more effective. It will help you to really progress towards contemplation quickly. Listen, even meditation we can have, even in God, even in Upasana, even in worship, even in prayer, even in this one can have this attitude of, looking at everything as Ishvara. I know this vision has to become true to my understanding. Actually, Vishala Shastram is that all that is there is only Ishvara. It's very clear. I myself being as an individual, being part of the whole. The truth of the individual and the truth of the jagat, the whole jagat, is one and the same. Isn't it? This is how you see all that is there is only Ishvara and I am everything here. When you say I am everything, you do not place the I on the body. You do not place the I on the mind. You do not place the I on senses or pranas. But you place the I on consciousness. Isn't it? Then you can say, I am everything. Where you place this I is important. Placing the I still on body mentions complex. You say, I am Ishvara. It's a problem, isn't it? Where you place your eye in your mind, buddhya, not you really don't physically place any eye. In your understanding, where do I place the eye? Because I mean, in this drigdrishiveka prakriya, I have understood very clearly body is an object of knowledge. Senses are all my powers of organs of actions, powers of the sense organs, all are objects of knowledge. All, every thought is an object of knowledge. Physiological functions are objects of knowledge. Even the knowledge, am is object of knowledge. Even am has become object of knowledge. I alone left here. Understand now? Even am is object of knowledge. Is am, irikiven, is there in waking state, it's not there in deep sleep state. It's also object of knowledge. Therefore, everything is object of knowledge. What else is there now? Understand? Therefore, whatever is there is what now, that pure awareness alone is the meaning of the word. I, the pure awareness is the truth. Understand? And the pure awareness is the truth of everything. Therefore, all that is there is the truth, only reality. All that is there is Ishvara, or you can say, I am everything. Then you place I only in consciousness. Therefore, this looking at everything as Ishvara is what? Entertaining an attitude of non-duality. Reality being non-dual, non-duality of the reality, a non-duality of Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. I am non-separate from Ishvara. Okay, I am non-different from Ishvara. In reality, in fact, I am non-separate from Ishvara. And this understanding is called what we say here, always. That is what people talk about, merging. You never merge. Okay, people always want to merge. You can never merge. One thing is ever away from Bhagavan. If there's any fraction of a second, if you're away from Ishvara, you can one day really go and merge. Okay, one fine day. But you are never away from Bhagavan. So you can never go and merge or submerge. Okay, there's no merging. Therefore, you can never merge. It only, that's why fusion, understand now, fusion also, we say here, therefore, that's why we say love for this object will help you what? Love for something means, mentally, if your like-mindedness is there, understand now, there's a fusion of thoughts, that they get the same. And here also, we say, really speaking, there's no merging at all. Understanding of the non-separateness from Ishvara, really speaking, merging. Okay, fusion. Bhakta becoming one with Ishvara. You never become one. So discovering the self being one and the same. Discovering oneself being already non-separate from Ishvara is what discovering the non-duality of the reality. Irandinmayai purundhu koldal. Irandavadu onru illai endra solradhu enna non-duality. Ellam ondrunu solradhu is very easy to say everything is one. Shastram emphasizes non-dual. It doesn't say one. Simply said easily one. What's one? But to make it more emphatic, where is the second thing? Which is the second thing? Which is second vastu? Now so many, all these differences will resolve in one thing. That is why you can count all the number of waves you see from standing on this seashore. Count so many. My God, I'm not able to count. Countless, innumerably countless. So many waves are there. Not able to count. They how many come and how many go? By the time finish counting, once other flights come and go. Okay, now I'm not able to really innumerably countless. Countability also is possible and the part of number of waves. But how can you count? See the truth. What is that one thing? Okay, can you count water? Well, countability is not there. To count, you must have second thing. Isn't the second thing must be there to count? One, two. Where is the two? What is the second thing which you can count? Can you count water, wave 1, wave 2, wave 3? Can you count like that? Water 1 and wave 2, wave 3, wave 4, wave 5. And ocean 6. No, you cannot count. wave plus water is equal to water. Wave, understand now? Wave plus water is equal to water. Water plus wave is equal to water. Water minus wave is equal to water. Wave minus water is equal to zero. Isn't it? That is what is what? Oneness. Understand? This is how we have to understand oneness. Gangai karigile puri ullappadu vendiya mathematics. Understand now? Okay. So this is oneness. Therefore, truth, in this we say similarly, awareness plus body, mind, sense complex is equal to awareness. Awareness plus all the forms, my God. Now, see, typically like all the forms, varieties, innumerably countless objects. I told this sentence many times. The very word vishvam, vividaihi pratyaihi gamya, what is this universe? First name of Vishnu Sahasranama Bhagavanaka. Now what first name? Vishwam, Vishnurva, Shatkaro. It comes the first word Vishwam. Why the whole Jagat is meant by the word Vishwam? Because the Vishwam means innumerably countless objects. Constitution. Okay? What is Vishwam? Therefore, all these innumerable countless objects, awareness plus world of objects is equal to awareness. World of objects plus awareness is equal to awareness. Awareness minus world of objects is equal to awareness. So, world of objects, okay, awareness, world of objects minus awareness, there is no Jagat. Understand? That means it's not possible. You can never say minus. Just for sake of understanding, I'm saying, because Satyam is what? You have to include your body as one of the objects. Okay? Which you, world of objects when you say, there you have to include the body, the mind, the pranas, the mind. Understand now? Physiological functions, everything as objects. Only one thing you leave there. What is that? Awareness. Therefore, that awareness is one indivisible, partless whole. H2O of the truth of the wave is one indivisible, partless whole. You cannot compartmentalize, segregate, okay? You cannot part the H2O of this wave and that wave. Understand? H2O is H2O. You can't really, no? Split it, divide it. It's indivisible. You can't divide it. And it doesn't have any parts. Similarly, this pure awareness, okay, which you have understood now as the meaning of the word I, which is yet to be ascertained. It is not just you have started slowly understanding the word awareness, the pure awareness or pure consciousness or pure knowledge. That pure one indivisible, partless whole. That is the truth. Therefore, awareness is not any of these forms, but all the forms are what? Basically, awareness. Understand now? Therefore, how many things are there now? Can you count awareness? All these things, objects of knowledge you can count. But the truth of everything, can you count the awareness? How many are there? You can't even count. Countability is not possible. It's not there because one thing. There is no second awareness. There is no second reality. Understand? This is what. There is no second thing other than the reality. And that, in fact, meaning of the word Lord is equal to the pure awareness. The meaning of the word I is equal to pure awareness. The meaning of the word, no? We say Brahman is awareness. In fact, the whole Jagat is Ishwara, the whole Jagat is Brahman, the whole Jagat is the truth means the whole Jagat is Ishwara. Therefore, you can say all that is here is only Ishwara. Or you can say, listen, all that is here is am I. All that is here am I. I am everything. When you say, you mean, you place the I where? Awareness. Isn't it? Therefore, there's no second thing. Non-dual. Non-dual means what? There's a second thing. Non-dual means secondless. Understand now? There's no second thing. Therefore, irandinmayai. Irandavadu unrinmayai. Understand now? Non-duality. So, therefore, all that is there is Ishwara. And with this understanding, this vision has to become ascertained. That's what we need, contemplation. And before that, you need some understanding, you also meditate. Even in meditation, where the meditator meditated, a difference is there. Even here, it's always better to have this attitude of seeing everything as Ishwara. Okay? This vision of non-duality. Anattum parambarule. Do this understanding when you dhyanikindra, okay, the meditator, the meditator, am that reality, all that is here is also the reality, the meditated upon also is the reality, all that is there is only Ishwara, or all that is, no, I am everything actually. The vision has to become true to my understanding, therefore I am now meditating. Listen now, in meditation also, it's to make this meditation, make your meditation more effective, it's always better to have this attitude in this, attitude of seeing everything as Ishwara, this is attitude of non-duality, of the reality. Meditation also makes the meditation more effective. But this, when you understand the Maha meaning of the Mahavakyam, understanding the meaning of the Mahavakyam, then seeing the meaning of the Mahavakyam, which you have understood very clearly, again and again and again. Well, I understood one thing. I go back and forget about it. No, don't think about it. No. I've understood the meaning of the Mahavakyam, and I see again and again and again and again, I see the meaning of the Mahavakyam, then where is your mind? Not physically, you can't see physically, okay? The meaning of the Mahavakyam, when I say you see means what? I mean you think. You think of the meaning of the Mahavakyam again and again means what? Constantly you are thinking of the meaning of the Mahavakyam means your attention is, attention of the mind is focused on the very nature of the reality. Manam enge irikkirana gavanam. In Paramparul, understand now. We know, that's why you see them in, then see the meaning mentally in your mind, then you are in contemplation. Then you are not doing contemplation, you are in contemplation. Then there is no action here. There is no action. And that is the meditation. Contemplation is the meditation, the best of the meditation. In fact, this is where, when you say all that is there is Ishwara, and here, in that understanding, the of meditator, the understand now, is also what? Is resolved as the Ishwara. Everything is Ishwara means, what is meditated on is Ishwara. The act of meditation also is Ishwara. Understand? The one who meditates on also is what? Is Ishwara. What is there? Where is Ishwara now? Who is Ishwara? Which is not Ishwara. Understand now? That's why we say this is the highest form of worship. What is the highest form of worship? Vazhipadugalileye miga melana vazhipadu edhu. Understand? Every form of worship is very beautiful and wonderful. It serves a purpose. It's very important to appreciate and recommend, okay, all forms of worship. But it's very important for us to understand what is the highest form of worship. Anyway, jnanam is the highest form of worship. in contemplation is the highest form of worship. Why? Because in contemplation, and I told you, you have to remember here to understand how contemplation is the highest form of worship. To understand this, you have to remember the meaning, what I told you much earlier about, not here today, sometime, but some of one of my classes, but what worship, no? The significance of worship. I told you, worship is a symbolic act of offering. We really do not offer anything to Bhagavan. We cannot offer anything to Bhagavan. We still have time, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is a symbolic act of offering. We cannot really offer anything to Bhagavan because there's a thing which belongs to us, actually speaking. Everything is Ishvara means. The offerer is Bhagavan. What is offered is Bhagavan. The act of offering is Bhagavan. What is offered to also is Bhagavan. Therefore, everything is Bhagavan means, where is the offering? This is a real offering. The symbolic act of offering through which we express our gratitude to Bhagavan, who is the manifestor of all the phenomena, who really contribute to us abundantly for our well-being. All that we need to live this life, all the artha we need, all the kama pleasures we need, in fact, everything that we need to live this life are abundantly contributed, generously, magnanimously, by these phenomena, which are all Bhagavan. Therefore, we feel so grateful, and as a token of gratitude. That is why a Kuchela is shown carrying this little packet of aval to Krishna. The emperor Krishna, the richest friend, and who this poor Kuchela friend goes with a small packet of aval. Rukmini is a little upset. Understand? But still Krishna, he takes and eats. No way. This Kuchela's aval is what? Like that, okay? Like Kuchela's aval to Krishna. Like that, even that is worse than that, what we offer to Bhagavan and worship. Whatever we offer to Bhagavan is nothing. Everything is Bhagavan's, okay? There's a saying in Tamil. Nothing is yours here. You take somebody else, some kadakar is having it to coconut shop. And you don't go and take one thing, grab one coconut from him. I want it for Bhagavan. Okay. And then you go and break it for Pulliyar. It's not yours. What are you losing? Understand now? That is why, like that, everything is Bhagavan's already. You are not offering anything from your pocket. Nothing is yours. You yourself, the body is Bhagavan, is given to you. Everything is given to you, nothing which is yours to offer. Understand now? And you offer, you yourself, Bhagavan. You yourself belong to Bhagavan. You yourself are Bhagavan, actually. Therefore, an offering is not possible. There's a second thing to want, for one thing to receive, for one thing to offer also. There's no real offering, symbolic act. But this contemplation, now remember this, I'll bring you back to this thing. Highest form of worship is jnanam. And for that jnanam, what is there? What is preceding this jnanam, really? With the asvision. In every time you're in contemplation, you are reveling in knowledge. And this contemplation, once it becomes ascertained vision, then you never miss that. You never lose it. So achyuta, once you get it, you never lose it. Because it is very swarupam. Understand now? Your own very swarupam. And here we say, in that also, in yajna, in performing a ritual also, that is why we say always, you offer, lots of things are offered. You say, sahasra avrittihi, 1,000 times, 1,008 times, the priest will be chanting lots of mantras, and they'll be offering this lots of things, and so many times, so many liters and ghee, every day they'll be performed. The last thing comes, everybody will be away, they'll all be brought to the same place, purna ahutihi. Ahutihi means oblation. Oblation, which is offered. And purna ahutihi means what? Ahutihi, which comes to an end. Complete, not end, actually complete. Mulmai adahirathu. Yedai arpanikkum pozhudhu, the act of offering becomes complete. Niraivadahirathu. Offering odaya niraivu. That means what? You can, no more offering is possible afterwards. Purna ahutihi. in Purna Ahutihi, that is the last thing to be offered. They'll be offering so many things. The last thing they'll keep, which they'll not offer before that. And Purna Ahutihi means all they'll also make love, all the vadyams, everything will be, you know, they'll play loudly and all the people will come and sit. Even people are all very distracted, they all come and sit for Purna Ahuti. Now why? The final Ahuti. Final Ahutihi. Purna Ahutihi. In Ahutihi, the offering of oblations. Offering which? The offering, the act of offering becomes complete. Ahutihi Purna Bhavati Yaya. Understand now? It's Purna Ahutihi. Why? That means, complete means, anything which is completed cannot begin again. Over. It should not begin again. Understand now? With that, it becomes complete. That stands for here. Similarly, we say, Jnanam also is the higher form of worship means. Why? Because there no more worship is possible. Worship comes to an end. The act of offering comes to an end. Why? Because in Jnanam, when you say everything is Ishvara, I the Self am the awareness, the Ishvara. Okay? When you say, when Jnanam, when you say this, where are you now? Everything is Ishvara means you have been offered. Understand now? The offerer becomes offered. Understand now? In Jnanam, the offerer becomes offered to Bhagavan. So there's not real offering again. In terms of Jnanam, everything is Ishvara. I, the Self, am Ishvara. Understand now? Therefore, when you say, I am Ishvara means, you have resolved your identity with Bhagavan. You have placed I in awareness. Therefore, I has been resolved in what? Awareness. Is there awareness? I, even is there I? Separately without I, awareness? No. Awareness is. Understand now? I does not, there's no such thing as I sitting separately outside of awareness. I becomes resolved in awareness. I understanding the meaning of the word I being awareness, resolving I in awareness is what resolving one's identity with Ishvara. Understand now? Then may, that is what resolving one's identity with Ishvara is what? Resolving one's ahankara in Ishvara. Understand now? Resolving one's, the placing I in awareness is in fact offering the offerer. If the offerer is offered, then offering cannot continue. Offerere illena, how can the offering continue? Offerer has been offered. Therefore, offering comes to an end. Is it clear now? How long? As long you give everything, but you keep yourself separately. I don't offer what. Hey, give the offerer. Offer the offerer. Offering comes to an end. That is what is Purna Ahuti. Understand now? Purna Ahutihi. And this way, Jnanam is the highest form of worship means, because the worship wherein the act of worship comes to, where the offerer himself becomes offered, thereby the act of worship comes to an end. Therefore, it is the highest form of worship. Arpikravane arpichachana. Then how long can you do that? Highest form of worship. That is why we say highest, there's because you cannot worship Bhagavan anymore. That's your, this is where you're really humble. Understand? What is real humility? You know that? Humility? When you don't worship anymore in Jnanam, you're really humble. You are not there. Everything is Ishvara. When you say, that is real humility. Otherwise, there's no humility, okay? According to Shastras, what is humility? The Shastra Drishti, everything is Ishvara means, that is, there is no ahankara. Understand now? There is no ahankara. Ahankara is what? Ahankara is resolved. I am as becomes resolved. I is resolved. Am is resolved. Everything is resolved as object of knowledge. Then I is resolved in awareness. Therefore, all that is there is Ishvara. Therefore, this vision of non-duality, of the reality. Okay? Parampurul and irandavadu oru porul illai. It's clear, it's that knowledge, that vision is what? Vision of the non-duality of the reality. Is in fact, all that is there is Ishvara. This vision becomes ascertained as a result of contemplation. This is the vision one will have us ascertain as a result of contemplation. Therefore, which you need to contemplate on. In contemplation, what are you contemplating on? You see the meaning of the Mahavakyam. For which you must have already known the meaning of Mahavakyam. Is it clear now? Therefore, that is what is going to, he says in his verse. Yeah.
Bheda bhavanat sohamityasau. Bheda bhavanat sohamityasau. Bhavanabhida pavanimata. Bhavanabhida pavanimata.
What rice this, I think, no? Bheda bhavanat
sohamityasau. Bheda bhavanat sohamityasau. Bhavana bhida pavanimata. Bhavana bhida pavanimata.
So bheda bhavanat. See, bheda bhavana means what? In meditation, there is bheda bhavana. In meditation, there is a bheda bhavana. Bheda bhavana means what? I am the meditator and Lord is object of, Lord is the one who is meditated on. This bheda bhavana is there in meditation. So then meditation, the meditating upon the Lord, okay, as saguna brahma vishya manasa vyapara, then that, no, saha aham iti. Okay, iti. Saha aham iti abheda bhavana. Abheda bhavana, you can say, and he says, abhida, he says here, so, bheda bhavana. So, bheda bhavana abhida. He says, bhavana abhida bhavana. Here, he says, abhida bhavana. Abhida, so you see the second line. Bhavana abhida. It must be bhavana abhida. And how should you take it as? Bhavana abhida means abhida bhavana. Abhida bhavana means what? Abheda bhavana. Bheda bhavana, abheda bhavana. What is bheda bhavana? In meditation, is said to be abheda bhavana. Wherein the meditator meditated, difference is there. I, the meditator, am different from the Lord who is meditated on. Understand? And here, but abheda bhavana means, I, the meditator, am not different from the Lord. It's abheda bhavana. So, the bhavana, your attitude. What is the attitude you entertain? No, it is in meditation, there's difference is there. So he says the contemplation wherein there is attitude of non-difference. Okay, non-duality of the reality, a non-difference between Ishvara, the Lord and you, and that contemplation is better than, more effective than, in fact what? Even this meditation where you have bheda bhavana, where you have this meditator meditated difference. Why it is, but what is this abheda bhavana? It is saha aham. So hum, oh, you know both the words. Look at this, how nice it is. No? Saha aham. I have to split this now. Abba, very useful in this class now. See, so hum. Now there are many people who do pranayama also. using the soham, soham and all that. Okay, you can use anything, okay, you can say 1, 2, 3, 4, you can say that or you can say this also, doesn't matter. But what you say doesn't matter, but it won't work. So here this is soham, soham is a mahavakyam. Like aham brahmasmi, soham. Soham na, not soham, ukandirkar. Not that soham. If you don't know the meaning, it becomes soham. Understand? Soham, no? Not that soham. Here, saha aham. Saha aham. Ha, how nice it is. Saha avan. That paramatma. Okay? Saha paramatma. Understand? Saha ishwaraha aham. That Lord am I. Look at this. Saha aham. This is Abheda Bhavana. So Abheda Bhavana is what? Pavani Mata. Okay? Consider. Mata means considered. Okay? Viewed. By what? Shastram. Not only by Shastram, also by all men of vision. Mahatmas, many Mahatmas, great men of vision who have understood this truth, fact, and by them, and also by the Shastra and the scripture, it has been viewed and considered as the most purifying. There is nothing most exalted and most purifying than having this vision of, okay, non-duality of the reality. Okay, he says here, this saha aham iti asau abheda bhavana, abhida bhavana alone is pavani. What is that which is purifying? What is it is purifying? What is that? No, whatever tapas you do, still you will be, it will impure, impure, impure. How much of whatever you do, still you will continue to be impure. Understand? Therefore, the real purity, okay, is in discovering the purity. So Pavani, the most exalted, the most purifying, you know, is what? Is this having this vision of non-duality of reality, or the non-difference between Ishvara and, okay, I, the individual. I, non-difference between I and Ishvara is what actually the Pavani Mata, Abhida Bhavana. I am non-different from Ishvara, I am non-separate from the Lord. This is what actually Pavani, Abhida Bhavana is Pavani. Or Beda Bhavana is what? Not Pavani. Why? Because as long as you isolate yourself from Ishvara, as long as you think you are different from Ishvara, as long as you think you are separate from Ishvara, there will be fear. You cannot undo the fear at all. There will be insecurity. There will be fear. There will be wants. There will be desires. There will be problems. There will be problem of the smallness being centered on I. As long as difference is there, all problems will be there. There will be punyam, there will be papam, there will be enjoyship, there will be doership, there will be pain, there will be pleasure, there will be something. This is, it will be continuous. But Abheda Bhavana is Pavani. The vision of non-duality of the reality, or the understand the vision of the oneself being, having the vision of oneself being non-separate from Ishvara, the Lord, there, okay, is Pavani. There is no fear. Your fear will be resolved. Your insecurity will be resolved. All your problems will be resolved. Understand now? Everything will be, all the problems will be resolved. That is why it is Pavani. Why it is Pavani? Why it is purifying? Because that, the vision in which all your problems will be resolved for good, that is what is Pavani. That is what is purifying. So, what is that vision? Saha Ishwaraha Aham Asmi. Saha Paramatma Aham Asmi. Understand? That Lord am I. I am that Lord. Who is that Lord? Understand now? Lord of the universe is what? The pure awareness. Who am I? I am awareness. I, the self, am the awareness, the Lord of the universe. Can you separate the meaning of the word Ishvara? I told you, substance of the substantive universe. And the substance of, when I say universe, it stands for all the objects and everything that is here. I'm not saying simply the big ones alone. Understand now? And the substance of the substantive I is equal to what? Awareness. And that awareness is one indivisible, partless whole. I'm using the word substance and substantive. All the dog. Hope they don't confuse you. I'm not using it for the first time. I've been always using this. Isn't it? One indivisible, partless whole. A param porul enbadu. Perunmai enbadu. Meipurul enbadu. Okay? Pirikkappada mudiyadhu. Understand now? It is one indivisible, partless whole. And that truth is what? Actually, Paramatma. The absolute self. Ishwaraha. And actually, I am that Lord. Okay? Saha, I am. Therefore, I am Ishwaraha. Saha Ishwaraha. Ahamasmi. Understand? This is what is Abheda Bhavana. Which is this Abheda Bhavana entertaining this attitude of the oneness of the non-duality of the reality or the non-separateness of the self in self from the Lord. Oneself from the Lord is in fact what? In fact seeing, having the vision of the non-separateness of self from the Lord, self being the Lord, is in fact the most purifying. And therefore, so seeing the meaning of this Sahaham, not simply saying it mechanically or repeating it mechanically, having understood the meaning of how, who is actually Saha, who actually is the, what is the actual meaning of the word Aham, how Saha Aham, how am I that Lord? How the Saha, that Lord, am I? How can I say that? Understand the meaning of the sentence. You know? Then all constantly thinking of that meaning is what? Contemplation. That contemplation is what, in fact, Pavani, most purifying, much more effective than this Beda Bhavana, meditation. Contemplation is superior to meditation. Why? Because it is Pavani. It is most purifying. Why it is most purifying? Because as long as Bheda is there, even though meditation, meditating upon the Lord, something which stands for the Lord, still Bheda Bhavana is there. As long as Bheda Bhavana is there, still I am bound. I am limited individual. Only in Abheda Bhavana, my problems will be solved. But meditation is for preparing me for contemplation. Therefore, I shouldn't get stuck with meditation. It should lead me to contemplation. And contemplation, Abheda Bhavana, only is Bhavana, there all my problems will be resolved. And you know, Taittiriya Upanishad, there is a sentence, Dvaitad hi bhayam bhavati. Kimartam bhayam bhavati. Look at, now you know this. Bhayam bhavati. Okay, aham bhavami. Bhayam bhavati. Fear happens. Fear occurs. Why there is something called fear? Fear is dvaita bhavanaya. Understand now? Dvaita bhavana means what? If it's the dvaita bhavana means what? If I think I'm different from the Lord, Lord is different from me, then you isolate yourself from the whole, the Lord, there'll be fear. Dvaitaddhi bhayam bhavati. The fear is due to duality. Duality means what? Isolating oneself from, separating oneself from the Lord. Understanding I oneself being different from the Lord. That wrong understanding is what actually, still you are limited being, then there will be fear. Once fear is there, all other problems will be there. Once fear is gone, all other problems also would have gone. So when can you resolve the fear? A, what is most purifying? The most protective is the most purifying. Understand, most purifying is the most protective, and the most protective is that wherein you will be free from fear. Understand? You have to understand this. Therefore, it is contemplation is the most purifying, wherein you and you see constantly the non-separateness of oneself, yourself being, okay, on yourself and Ishvara, yourself being one with Ishvara, not separate from Ishvara. Okay, so we'll come back and see this contemplation again in next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnamidam.